do you really want to go state-sponsored media?
Yeah, I don't think so.
But I mean, and if you do, because NPR, is a great news source,
yeah,
right? But if that's the only one left, and that's the only one that can make it, what do we do, right? I mean, we need some sort of other thing to compete.
Yeah,
and not compete on a, you know, marketplace
way. Unless you have transparent separation from, you know, as long as the chief of NPR is not a political appointment.
And I think that's the way it is now. I mean, have the Corporation of Public Broadcasting. They've separated themselves and made a separate, like, government-sponsored corporation, right, which is supposed to be outside the sphere of political influence.
But it's the obligation of the government to fund that.
Of course, which is strange, right? It's a strange obligation.
Yeah. But as long as that obligation cannot change from party to party or whatever, then I think that could be work. That could work.
Do you think that could work? I mean, is that sufficient? Like, just to have one?
I mean, would you only have one necessarily? If, you know, I think that as soon as news channels or mediums start to fall, something will come up and fill that place.
That's what I wonder. I just, like I said, if there's no money, I don't see anybody doing, like, what motivates people is money.
Right. Well, I don't know. I mean, like, that's not 100% true.
You're totally right. When I said that, I was like, what am I thinking? But
What motivates businesses
is money.
Okay.
I mean, yes, there's people who do not. I mean, there's plenty of, like, I mean, you look around and the world is filled with things that are fueled by things that are not money. You know, like art and beauty and just service and good nature and whatever. These are all perfectly good means of motivation. But for news organizations, I don't think they're necessarily, I mean, obviously they're driven by this creed of, like, you know, delivering the truth and all that stuff. But as soon as, like, some other news organization pays them twice as much, or maybe five times as much, some price.
You mean the reporter will go to it?
Yeah, there's some price, and that reporter's like, all right, see you later.
Yeah.
I know you're the New York Times, but this is the Tampa Bay, you know, like,
But I think it when it boils down to it, someone's got a hold. I mean, I hope someone's got, like, say it comes down to your spin channels, which are, like, Fox and MSNBC, and I think CNN is one of them, too, that maybe CNN doesn't pay people so much, but MSNBC and Fox, those are not news channels. They're spin channels. You know, they're in essence kind of like these rhetoric-driven programming. I think ultimately, like, say they buy off most of the reporters, prices are going to go up for each reporter that goes out, you know, from your genuine news source. And that's, I think, would just follow sort of a supply-demand thing. And when you got down to the bare bones of it, I think ultimately, like, if a reporter has some integrity and self-respect, they're going to say, you know, they're going to say, oh, my goodness, you know, everybody's at these other channels, and they don't report the news in an unbiased manner, and I believe in reporting the news in an unbiased manner, and so I'm going to stay with this little community business, and hopefully there are enough people that will pay for that, that'll keep it alive.
And that is why we're all screwed. Like, you look at anything in the world and we are so screwed. Look at music. Like, there's a bunch of people
if you really want to know why we're screwed, we should talk about world population.
I don't know. I mean, I think it's just gotten to the point where, like, money's king, right? And it's like, look at the people, like talk radio, MSNBC, Fox News, for example. It's like they could telecast the news objectively and tell the truth, or at least not spin it, put it that way, and, like, try to get people to really do what's right or objectively discuss, have a real discussion, or they could have somebody with an opinion, right? And it's more entertaining to watch an opinion. It's more entertaining to watch somebody who's spewing what they think in a very convincing and, like, almost argumentative manner, right? And you would rather watch, or not me, maybe not you particularly, but many people would rather watch Bill O'Reilly on Fox News or Glenn Beck or even Keith Olbermann and their rants than watch a calm and measured report from Jim Lehrer on PBS. or listen to the radio, NPR, and listen to them in their little snooty voices. You know, or they'd rather listen to Rachel Maddow, even who's not really as far as
I don't know who that one is.
She's kind of a new like voice. She's becoming a very interesting person who's like kind of calling people out. But like, yeah, like basically Bill O'Reilly, Glenn Beck, Keith Olbermann, and there's a bunch of other ones that are coming out. Rush Limbaugh. You know, I mean, these are people who are entertaining, and they rile people up. They get them emotional. They get them angry. But they don't necessarily report the news. They just like look at the news and they spin it. Like you said, they're a spin channel, right? And that is what people are going towards because that's where the money is, right? I mean, that's and I mean, people aren't going to really respond to anything but something that's going to rile them up. And that doesn't leave much space for anything else.
Well, I mean, if ultimately you're saying that these things, if they don't report the news in any way, then they can just become voices for their advertisers there, you know. And so what you're saying is it's moving toward a strictly corporate-controlled information source. Is that right?
I don't know if I'm saying that, but I'm saying, like, I wouldn't rely on the goodness of people to get you good news or good anything.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, good music. Look at the music. It's, like, terrible, right? And that's because what sells is what 13 to 24-year-olds listen to.
Okay.
Look at TV. What are people watching? Reality television. You know, it's like that stuff is terrible.
Yeah.
But it's like that's what people watch. They want the excitement. They want the drama. They want the intrigue. And that's what news has become, right? It's become this show, right?
It's even an entertainment program.
Even ABC, NBC, CBS, it's like, you know, the specials they have, it's like basically they'll look, go after like child predators, which is like, and they do it in an entertaining way, you know, or they'll go after a funny story, or they'll go after something that has to do with Viagra. You know, or they'll go after something that is shocking, you know, and it's like they won't go after the real news, they won't go after real in-depth analysis of any story whatsoever. It's like, no, this is the thing that people are going to tune in to listen to.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they'll give you teasers tonight at 11, what you need to know to save your kids.
It's like, you know,
come on, right? That's not news, and like what you're going to report is obvious, and it's not that big a deal.
Right. Right. And there's no reason people should be afraid about it.
Exactly, right? Yeah. And if it was so important, tell me now.
Not tonight at 11,
exactly.
For God's sake.
If you're doing me a service, do me a service. You know, and like, if that is why we're screwed.
Hmm.
We are screwed because nobody will do anything for anybody else except for money.
Well, I mean, all the bloggers blog for free, right?
Well, and that's the thing, right? I mean, like, they do it for free.
We do this for free.
We do this for free.
And we have, like, 40 listeners.
No, but we have 40,000 listeners.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
But we don't provide a service. I mean, if we just sat here and said, today, President Barack Obama supported a bill that would do this, nobody would listen, right? But, like, you and I are going back and forth talking about our viewpoints.
Yes.
And it's interesting because, you know, we have different points of view, and sometimes we disagree to hilarity. And sometimes but sometimes we don't. I mean, but that's kind of like what it's become, right? It's become this infotainment, which everybody knows, right? It's become this infotainment, like, news source. And I think, you know, news up until maybe 50 years ago, or maybe even up until 10 years ago, was sort of this cut and dry, you know, I wear a bowler hat, and I wear a suit to work, you know, and I do my reporting. But now it's like, you know, these guys who are out in the field and they're doing undercover, like, you know, detective work, and they wear like kind of cool shirts, and they're like, you know, their personalities. Who are you attracted to? I'm attracted to Anderson Cooper because he's a good looking guy, you know, not to like
speak for yourself, bro.
Come on, the blue eyes, the silver hair. You know, Larry King is like a thing of the past, right? Nobody listens to him anymore because he's just not cool anymore, you know. And like,
I don't know.
I just say it's weird, and going back to like kind of the, if you tie it all together, the auto industry, the newspaper industry, it's weird that all these industries are what this country, or at least sections of this country, are built upon. Freedom of the press is built upon there being a press.
Right. So coming back to the original point, bail out the print industry or not, I'm still going no, and the example I'm going off here is BBC. They are government-sponsored, you know, not only news, but entertainment and whatever. But the BBC News, I find to be quite a good news program.
True.
And they don't rely on advertisers, I'm assuming, or stuff like that.
You know, I don't know a ton about it. I don't know there's a ton of channels in England, though.
No, there aren't. Well, you know what? I bet there are now. I bet there are, you know, the competing cable networks and all that jazz, but the BBC is there and will be there.
True.
Always.
True.
You know?
And I mean, I just wonder how, I mean, I wonder how they're doing now if there is competition from cable.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, as far as I understood it, up until like, let's say 10 years ago in England, there was a TV tax.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I mean, and you couldn't watch TV over there unless you paid this tax.
Huh.
And I mean, I don't know. Somebody told me this. I think my boss told me this once. He's from England. And he told me that they would go around and they have like some sensor. I don't know. This is like almost absurd. But like they have a sensor and they can tell whether you're watching TV or not. Like the TV is like broadcasting signal and they can like look at your address and say whether you paid or not. This sounds absurd coming in my mouth. So it might completely be. He might have been putting me on.
Was he BSing you?
Let me just.
We
can
look
what?
That one up and
we should
bring
look
about it,
up. It.
Bring it back.
But
next
I'm
time.
Pretty sure there's a big like tax on television, and I mean that's the way the BBC gets its funding, right? And there's BBC One, BBC Two, BBC Three, BBC Four, all these different channels. But it's, I mean, up until let's say like 10 years ago, there were only so many channels, you know. And whereas here we've had hundreds of channels. The United States is about choice, right? It's about being able to watch whatever you want,
right?
And I mean, yeah, like if we were left to watch NPR and PBS. Or listen to NPR and watch PBS, and we'd probably be better off. Because we'd all know about interesting things and watch documentaries that were about real things and listen to the news that was actually factual and unbiased. But instead...
Well, I mean, not to say that their reports are unbiased. They're just...
They're unintentionally unbiased.
They're less entertainment and more information, though, I would say.
I mean, they're not intentionally biased.
Okay.
Right? I mean, like, the people at Fox are clearly one way.
Right.
One could argue MSNBC is leaning a little left these days.
I don't know. I don't watch TV, but...
well, I'm sorry.
I'm assuming...
I apologize to us to get onto your level with this topic.
I'm assuming... No. I don't own a TV there.
Whoa!
I'm too poor.
Wow! You're so cool. I don't have a TV. No, TV's for the masses. It's like, you know. Boob tube and all that. I prefer to spend my time on the internet playing Flash games.
Anywho, do we have a conclusion for this one? Are you working up towards something?
I'm just saying we're all screwed.
Okay.
And no, it's just, I think there's going to be some really interesting times coming on real soon because I don't know, like the auto industry, like there's an entire state like built upon the foundation.
That's true.
And there are, you know, entire ways of our civil society based on the fact that there's newspapers.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, how are we going to get our news? How are we going to learn these things? How are we going to like be watchdogs for our representatives when we don't know who to give access to and who not to?
Mm-hmm.
Who do we let on Air Force One to ask the president questions and go around the world and ask him questions with him? You know, or to ask our representatives and senators in Congress
mm-hmm.
these questions. I mean, like I said, you can't just invite like reporter guy 42.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think it's a really weird thing, and I guess I have no conclusion. I just wanted to
throw that one out there.
Throw it out there and say like, I think there are problems.
You listeners out there in internet land can weigh in on this one. By writing to irregularsearchfortruth@gmail.com. I may have mumbled that. Let me repeat it. Irregular. Irregular search for truth at gmail.com.
Wow. That was good.
I think we should end it in the next minute or so, but I wanted to mention as with the whole we're screwed thing, Norman Borlaug passed away this last week. He was the guy who developed, he was sort of the quote-unquote father of the Green Revolution.
Oh, yeah?
Developed rice and wheat varieties, or I'm sorry, wheat and corn varieties that were more productive, you know, in terms of generating food. Whole other topic of debate, and we can't get into it now, but have an agricultural background and perhaps why I'm unemployed. it interests me, and so maybe we'll talk about Norman Borlaug next time. But anyway, whether or not you think the Green Revolution was a great thing or a bad thing, he seemed like a good person, and sad to see him go. Anyway, weigh in on anything. irregularsearchfortruth@gmail.com. Should we sign off then?
Let's do it.
All right. Goodbye.